If there's one thing I hope today's episode sheds light on, it's that if you're feeling depressed, hopeless, or like you can't stop thinking about what happened to you, your family, your friends, or your neighbors, you're not alone. I've been listening these past 7 weeks as we've been reporting about the campfire, and I hear a community desperately wanting to heal. There are a lot of resources out there. Over the next 30 minutes, you're going to learn about some of them. You'll be able to find links to any of the resources mentioned, as well as a larger list on our website, mynspr.org. First, we'll hear from Gerard Lawson. He's the past president of the American Counseling Association and currently a professor of counselor education at Virginia Tech. When asked what he thought campfire survivors needed to know about trauma, the first thing he said was that it's important to understand that everyone reacts differently.
I think one of the things that's really important for people to understand is that these reactions are normal reactions. This isn't an indication that you have a mental illness or PTSD or anything else, but we try to remind people over and over again that you're having a normal reaction to an abnormal situation. So sometimes those reactions are a great deal of anxiety or fear. It could be anger or sadness or a feeling of helplessness because so many things feel out of control in my life right now. In the cognitive side of things, we could see, you know, folks that have difficulty concentrating, even if they're able to get back to work, maybe not feeling like they can stay on task as well as they normally could, having thoughts returning to the fire and the trauma over and over again, which would make, you know, perfect sense. There's also commonly a strong identification with the victims, other people that have been through the same thing with me. That can be a source of strength. It's a community that we find together. It can also set people up sometimes where I see other people who have struggled or lost more than I have, and I have feelings of guilt that come from that. Restlessness, we see sleep and appetite disturbances, people sleeping too much or too little, eating too much or too little, difficulty expressing themselves. Unfortunately, we often see people that turn to alcohol and other drugs to try to manage their behavior, sort of self-medicating. If I can't sleep, maybe I'll just have a few drinks and go to sleep that way, which may feel like a short-term solution, but it sets you up for some long-term issues as well. Some of the more troubling things are people that sort of withdraw, that instead of connecting with or strengthening relationships with my normal support systems, I actually withdraw and isolate myself from them. And one of the things that counselors are going to work for pretty early on is getting people reconnected with those natural support systems and helping them to find the supports that'll be there long after the emergency services folks are gone. That's the community that they're going to be connected with, and that's the relationships we really want to strengthen. We talk about the new normal, but I want to encourage people to think about the new normal not as just being able to sort of get by or cope with the day-to-day sadness and difficulties, but the new normal should be at least a return to the kind of functioning that I was at before this trauma came through. So it is helpful to have friends and loved ones that are able to say, have you thought about, and encouraging people to reach out and talk to a counselor, because that's often a better barometer of how I'm doing than I might have for myself. Be patient with yourself. Understand that this is a really traumatic experience. And even if it seems like other people are struggling more than I do, we're only seeing part of that. And everybody deserves the compassion for themselves. Having said that, I think a couple things that we would strongly suggest is setting up some self-care routines, trying to get some routines in general, trying to get to bed at the same time each night, waking up at the same time each morning, nourishing meals rather than fast food and things like that when you can try to. Using support systems, your family, your friends, your colleagues from work, if you're a member of a spiritual community of some sort, turning to those support systems and just checking in with people and letting them know how you're doing and seeing if there's support that they can provide as well. We encourage people to start setting some realistic short-term goals to begin working on a plan of action. And sometimes it's simple things like getting in touch with the insurance company or checking with my employer to see when we're going to be able to get back to a normal schedule there. Those sorts of things help me feel like I've got some control in my world again and are actually making some steps towards recovery. I think it's also important to be aware that what you're feeling may feel overwhelming sometimes. Reach out to somebody at that point. If any of these things, even though they're normal responses to an abnormal situation, if any of these things are getting in the way of your relationships or your ability to work or go to school or whatever is your day-to-day, that's probably a good signal to reach out to somebody and get some help from a professional counselor. And similarly, if they're just going on too long, if it feels like they're not really getting in the way, but it's become longer than you're comfortable with, that's a pretty good time to reach out to a professional counselor as well. There's probably still a presence with the American Red Cross, and you know they're very good at managing the immediate situation. And then one of the things that we try to do as we move out of town is to hand this off to the folks that are still here in town. On the American Counseling Association website, there's a link to a counselor finder, and you can put in a zip code and what kind of specialty area you're looking for, and it'll help you to find somebody that has a background in the area that you're looking for. So if what you're looking for in particular is somebody that can help you with trauma work, that'll give you, all of the people in the area that are trauma specialists that are going to be able to support you through something like this. Universally, one of the most important things, though, is the relationship that you have with the counselor. So I always tell people that you want to, go ahead and have that first appointment, but it doesn't have to be the person that you're going to work with forever. I think you should interview a counselor, make sure that the relationship is pretty good, because that's where a lot of the work is going to take place, and you want to be sure that you've got a good foundation there. Survivor guilt is a really difficult phenomena for us to work with because people are reacting from a place of empathy and compassion for others, but are sort of imposing this additional burden on themselves. And that doesn't come from any rational place. You have all lived through a terribly difficult situation, and there is no ranking how difficult that is for one person versus the next. And we can look at it in specific terms of the losses, the individuals lost, and the housing lost, and the jobs lost, and all of those things. But there shouldn't be a scorecard in times like this. Nobody deserves a trauma, and you have every right to the feelings that you have felt going through something, because it's as real a loss, no matter how large or small. By the same token, some people find some relief from their experiences of that trauma and the sadness and grief that come with it by serving others. And I'm okay with that as long as you're doing your own work at the same time. So people that are willing to take time and reflect on their own emotional and cognitive and behavioral wellness and how they're responding to the trauma, if they also find some relief from serving others, that's probably a good way to go. But be sure that you create a space where you understand that my reactions are legitimate and authentic, and I have every right to them. Either maintaining your normal routine, or if you have not had a routine, setting one up is really important. And so instead of saying, well, I'll work on, cleaning up the house and trying to get ready for the insurance inspector to come out, I'll do that for 6 hours. Instead of setting a number like that, if you don't have a schedule, if you don't have any sort of routine to it, it's easy for that to just become everything you do all the time. And it's important to build in some self-care. Like I said, that sleep routine, a routine so that you're sure that you're eating on a regular basis. People tell me they, I just forgot to eat for 2 days because I was so busy cleaning up, or I was so busy, trying to tend to others. And you can't serve others or yourself well if you're not taking care of yourself. Similarly with exercise, I can't overstate how important it is for people to get some exercise, to be able to stay active. And again, that's one of the challenges when people withdraw or isolate themselves, is they often let go of some of the self-care activities that are really, really helpful for working through traumas like this.
That was Gerard Lawson, a professor of counselor education at Virginia Tech.